So please turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 21, verse 9. Luke 21, 9. For those that are just joining us, we're covering what's called the Olivet Discourse, and I have a handout that is also going to be on the website and has been on the website for the previous two studies that lay Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the three gospel writers that covered this Olivet Discourse, this teaching of Jesus of prophecy, laid them side by side. Matthew on the left, Mark in the middle, and Luke on the right-hand side. And Jesus is answering four questions that they ask. When will these things, the casting down of the stones of the temple, be? What will be the sign of your coming, second coming? What will be the sign of the end of the age? Matthew alone records that one. And what is the sign that there will be when these things are about to take place? And the things that Jesus had mentioned, that the temple was going to be destroyed. And so we ended last week reading 9 through 11 and covering those in detail about famines, earthquakes, etc. We're going to reread those as a lead-in to verse 12. So in verse 9, it says, "But when you hear of wars and commotions," or wars and rumors of wars, as Matthew puts it, "do not be terrified, for these things must come to pass first, but the end will not come immediately." You're going to see some nasty wars, but that's not immediate. It's not going to be immediately what happens. And so 40 years later, they saw the destruction of Jerusalem and the dispersion of the Jews. And God is saying, that's not going to be immediately when it happens. That's not when the end of these things are going to happen. Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be great earthquakes in various places, and famines and pestilence, and there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven." Now, we didn't cover great signs from heaven, fearful sights and great signs from heaven, which is on page 5 of your notes, and I wanted to cover that. And historically, Josephus, who is a historian that watched the sacking of Jerusalem, he watched the Romans breach the walls, slaughter the Jews inside of the city, and he saw signs and wonders in the heavens, you know, like chariots and angels and things like that that were happening. And so I write in the notes on page 5, about halfway down, Josephus also records that there were fearful sights and great signs from heaven when the city of Jerusalem was under siege in AD 70. And that's in his book, Wars of the Jews, book 6, chapter 5. And you can, you know, I didn't include it in your notes. You can go read it. You can actually Google Josephus. You can download the PDF of his books, Wars of the Jews, and you can read that for yourself. But they were seeing things. Miraculous events were happening over Jerusalem. Angelic happenings were happening over Jerusalem when it was being sacked. But that's not what Jesus was talking about completely. Because it goes on to say, it goes on to say, fearful sight signs, great signs from heaven, and what Matthew and Mark are going to say is that the sun and the moon were darkened, and that didn't happen. Now, how many of you remember the Mark Biltz and John Hagee and others writing books about the blood moons? And, you know, how many remember that? Well, see, that fad came and went, and really, biblically, nobody should have ever bought their books, because the Bible doesn't say it's going to be the moon turning, you know, when the moon darkens the sun, what is that? It's a solar eclipse. When the sun darkens the moon, it's called lunar eclipse. And the sun only turns the moon red, doesn't darken it, turns it red. So, blood moon. But that's only seen in certain places, and the solar eclipses are only in a very short period of time. When we had that major solar eclipse here a few years ago, and remember, it was just our area, you know, and we were near total. Other places were total solar eclipse. We were very close to near. It was only for a few minutes, and it's only for us. Not, you know, 99% of the rest of the world didn't even see it. But when Jesus is saying the sun will be darkened, the moon will be, you know, be turned to blood, and there'll be the stars in heavens, and, you know, the stars of heaven will be falling, and there'll be all kinds of crazy, chaotic, heavenly stuff going on. That's not an eclipse that lasts for 40 minutes on a Jewish feast day. But they sold a lot of books, and it was quite the fad. And here's the tragedy of it, because Mark Biltz was really making a big deal about this is when, well, so the rapture has to happen right now. And this is, because I have gone through and in history, this is the first time there's going to be this triad, you know, of the lunar eclipse, solar eclipse, all on Jewish feast days, all in a row. He called it a triad. And this doesn't happen again until whatever. And so if that's going to happen, if this triad that's going to be 7 years in the future, if that's going to happen then that means the rapture has to happen. And so people were saying, okay, the rapture, this is going to be it because Mark Bill says that this is what this means. And then the time came and went. And it didn't happen. So once again, Christians are writing books and telling people when the rapture is going to occur and it goes by and then they think we're all nuts to believe in a rapture. So I wanted to cover that. And now going to verse 12 of Luke on page 5, the bottom. And actually this section is important enough to read Luke. We'll start with Luke and we'll go to Matthew and go to Mark and just read these parallel passages of the same thing. So verse 12, but before all these things, wars, rumors of wars, pestilence, you know, all this stuff. Before these things happen, they, the enemies of the gospel, will lay their hands on you and persecute you. How soon was that fulfilled? Right away. You know, so before any of that, 2,000 years from now, guess what they're going to do to you? You know, as soon as Pentecost comes and you start preaching, And then you start going into the temple, silver and gold have I none, such as I have give I thee, and they arrest you, and they beat you, and they threaten you about teaching in Jesus' name, you're going to be brought before the synagogue, and you're going to be persecuted. They will lay their hands on you, persecute you, deliver you up to the synagogues and prisons. And he's talking to Jews, because they're his disciples, they're all Jews. You will be brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. Now, who fulfilled that almost immediately? Who did that? Paul the Apostle. Brought before kings, rulers, for his name's sake. But since then, during the 2,000 years, all Jew and Gentile believers in Jesus, have they been brought before kings? Yes. Having to be explain themselves before they're persecuted, beheaded, fed to the lions, whatever. But it will turn out for you as an occasion for testimony. Think about what Jesus is saying. Wow, you know, you're going to get... I wonder if Paul remembered those words when he said, hey, I appeal to Caesar. Well, why do you want to appeal? I want to go tell him about the gospel. I don't want you guys to kill me on the road back to Jerusalem. I'm a citizen. I'm going to appeal to Caesar. And I'm going to go talk to him. See, everything, and this is what we can think about. Are we, for the first time in the history of the United States, we actually have to think that the day could come where we get rounded up and taken to some place to stand in front of some, you know, guy that's in charge of a detention center, and what can we look at it? You know, a time to go nuts about our constitutional rights, which are pretty much gone, or anything else, or as an opportunity to witness. And then here is my encouragement, because I think it could happen in our lifetime. And it's happening in Australia right now, where people are being taken away and put into detention centers because they're unvaccinated in order to protect the vaccinated. And they say, why are you putting me here? Because we have to protect the vaccinated. I thought the vaccine was supposed to protect the vaccinated. Oh no, don't bother us with facts and logic. We just need you to go away. And so for the first time, we could literally be hauled away. And I'm having to condition my mind right now to be thinking, I want to be able to witness to him. I want to be able to give him an occasion for, I want to have an occasion for testimony. Therefore, settle it in your hearts. So he told them, he's telling them this weeks before it's actually going to happen, and they have not. When he's telling them this, they have not a clue that's going to happen in weeks. Not a clue. They're still thinking he's going to do his thing. I don't know this death stuff and this resurrection stuff, but you're going to set up your kingdom. Settle in your hearts not to meditate beforehand on what you will answer, but with what purpose you'll answer, I think is what he's telling them to listen to. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries will not be able to contradict or resist. Doesn't mean they won't kill you, but they won't be able to contradict what you say to be true. You will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but not a hair of your head shall be lost. By your patience possess your souls. Isn't that amazing? And just to keep the thought, let's keep going with Matthew. You go back to the previous page, Matthew 24:9 at the bottom left. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation, starting with little t tribulation, because did little t tribulation come right after Jesus was resurrected, ascended into heaven? Little t tribulation came, and later on it's going to be big tribulation, and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Is that true? What is one thing that all nations cannot stand? They cannot stand the Jews, and they cannot stand Christians. In all nations, I mean, except for the ones, you know, South Sudan wants to have Christianity, but the message of Jesus to the majority of the people of the nations, I don't want to hear it. They all have curse words for Jesus. All nations, for many say, and then many will be offended. That word literally means to fall away. Will betray one another and will hate one another, which goes along with families and friends turning you in. Have families been divided over the jab? Yeah. Oh, huge. Huge offense because somebody gets sick. And if it gets to the point that they're hunting down the unjabbed, do you think that there's people that will turn their fathers and mothers and stuff that are trying to hide around because they're unvaccinated and they've got a false passport, or they're trying to hide because they've got food and water someplace and I'm going to turn them in so you can go to the detention camps? Yeah, well, just think what it's going to be like when the Antichrist comes along. When the Antichrist comes along, and what is now over a jab, and then it'll be over whether or not you can have money put into your account. And then it'll be whether or not you have guns in your house or whether you have extra food in your house. And so all of that is in the works right now. But then the day comes, according to the Bible, the Antichrist is going to say, now to stay in the economic system, to be able to buy or sell, you're going to have to take my name in your hand or on your forehead. Will people turn in their family for that? And in fact, what do you bet the system is going to do to get you to turn in your family or friends? An extra 100 bitcoins for every person that you turn in, family or not. Family will make it 200 bitcoins. You know, the stranger down the street, 100 bitcoins. Will people turn in their friends and relatives to be slaughtered and killed and beheaded by the Antichrist for some bucks during the tribulation period? You bet they will. And Jesus said that's going to happen. And is that going to make the love of many grow cold? You bet it is, as we're going to get into. It's going to cause such grief. And Mark is pretty much the same thing. We're going to cover verse 10 of Mark because it's kind of unique at this part of the scripture. But it also ends, and you will be hated by all men for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. So, literally fulfilled shortly after Jesus, as the synagogues were the place that they brought the Christians and hated them and persecuted them, and many being offended, falling away. Are people going to deny Jesus? Yeah, who are the kind of people that are going to deny Jesus? The people who today would say, are you a Christian? Yeah. So, what does that mean to you? Well, I went to church, I went to Awanas, I did this, I did that. When they're going to be persecuted for their faith, fed to the lions back in the days of the apostles, or, you know, shortly thereafter, then that's when you found out who the true Christian was. And God used that persecution to keep the church purified in those early days. persecution good for church? It purifies the church. And we're going to find out what people really believe. And I say that here because the day's coming where we're going to, it's one thing, oh, I really don't want to get the jab. You know, again, the jab has nothing to do with your salvation. But a lot of people are going to give in. Even though they don't want to, they'll do it. But see, we also don't want to deny Jesus. Are we going to do it? Are we going to do it for a job? Are we going to do it to save our skin? Are we going to do it when the whole world hates us, when they're getting ready to turn us in? And I hope the answer for everybody here is nothing, nothing is going to cause me to deny Jesus, because I know that, you know, Jesus says, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father. I hope that scares you as much as it does me. And I have mentally just thought, there is nothing that would make me deny Jesus. Nothing. I don't care. Because it's real. And I hope it's real for everybody here, that you know you're saved. You know you have eternal life. Because this stuff that Jesus said 2,000 years ago is starting to come true and be betrayed. And then Matthew 24:11. I'm at the bottom of page 6, and this is important to keep Matthew, Mark, and Luke in this, for even though we're just doing a study through Luke. Then many false prophets will arise and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And so false prophets were, again, in Jerusalem, 70 AD, we covered this last week. They deceived people into thinking that the Messiah of Israel, not Jesus, was going to come and deliver them from the Romans, and they deceived many people. And are there people that are false prophets today, false teachers today, that are causing many to be led astray? Yes. And because of lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. You know, if I were just in the flesh, if I had no hope in Jesus, if I didn't realize there's a spiritual battle, and I'm thinking as the, you know, instead of the Bible saying, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, and spiritual wickedness in high places. So that sets us apart as Christians. You know, we don't look at people as our enemy. We look at the enemy of all of our souls who has deceived them. Does everybody understand that? That has been such a changer for me. I didn't live my whole Christian life trying to always look at it that way. People are not my enemy. They've been deceived. To just really, instead of getting anxious and, you know, hateful in my mind and stuff towards people, no, it's too bad. They're deceived. Homosexual agenda. Those poor people. They've been deceived into a lie that is going to damn their souls and is destroying their life here in this. That really should be the attitude as Christians. But look at it from, you know, let's say if somebody has a conservative mindset, and we have the information dumped this week that the documents prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that Fauci lied to Rand Paul on the Senate floor when he said the National Institute of Health has never funded any gain-of-function research in the Wuhan lab. And then we find out that was a blatant lie, which is punishable by 5 years, minimum 5 years, for perjury on the Senate floor. Not to mention there's federal law and international law that locks him up for life because he created the bioweapon, COVID-19, and then allowed it to be unleashed onto the earth. And, wow, why is he still walking around flapping his gums on the news telling us what we need to do, that there needs to be, you know, nobody should be able to fly. I'm hoping I'll be able to fly to Denver on the first, because by then they might say I have to have jab proof to be able to go to a memorial service of somebody. So I get really upset about that, except the world's deceived. And then, we have the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff that was calling the Chinese, saying, I'll let you know we're about to attack you if Trump were to order it. And then, you know, and that's, if that's true, imagine that. He should be tried for treason and shot. You know, and yet he's just going to walk and everything. People are violating laws and constitution, lawlessness. And because of lawlessness will abound. People are walking into stores and stealing. Walk out, no problem. You know, guy walks his dog on the streets in Seattle yesterday or 2 days ago, and a guy comes over with a pit bull attacking. He's trying to pull it off, and the guy comes over with a knife and just slashes his face open. I mean, that was on nightly news last night. And then the city says, well, we really can't do anything because we only provide the budget. We don't actually make things happen. Oh, and by the way, we want to get rid of all the police. That was a real smart thing. I mean, it's just, you could sit there and go, this place is going to pot. You know why? Because it's going to pot. And God says, the love of many will grow cold. May God help us. He doesn't allow us. And it's okay for you Christians to let your love grow cold. We're going to feel like letting our love grow cold, especially when it hits us at home. But we've got to keep our love. And we've got to keep our understanding that it's the deceptions of this world that have made things this way. So lawlessness will increase. I even said this years ago, bribery, betrayal, treason, extortion, theft, etc. How about the election over in California? I mean, and again, who knows? Only God knows what the real thing was. But we hear all these reports of Republicans going to vote and they get told, you've already voted. Well, no, actually, I didn't vote. Well, you know, the Democrats put your absentee ballots in for you because they knew how you were supposed to vote. I mean, that's what the allegation is. Yeah, that can make people... See, we're done. People think they can turn this around with a 2022 when they're demonstrating that the same machines that were used to flip votes last November are being used in the California recall. Make you upset if it was our home. Because God is allowing this to happen. You know, God said... That he allowed, the reason why Rehoboam listened to his foolish counselors in the book of Kings and Chronicles recording this is because it was the occasion of God to judge because Solomon had decided to, instead of using his wisdom to glorify God, he used his wisdom, he failed in his wisdom to listen to God saying, don't marry foreign women and do idolatry. So he filled the land with idols. And God said, because of this, because Solomon left and departed from me, I am going to let Rehoboam listen to his stupid guys that are around him that are his age instead of the wisdom of the adults to cause the country to go into civil war. And you read Kings and Chronicles and over again it says, because they have left me, I'm leaving them. He'd tell the prophets, go tell the nation of Israel, because you have left me, I'm leaving you. And you know what that means? Bad things. Because we have left God, he is leaving us. And so when he leaves us, Satan moves in. And Satan, he does all this stuff. He's a liar, has been from the beginning. He's a murderer, has been from the beginning. And so we're watching it happen. And all we can do is go, praise God, this ain't my world. God is allowing it to happen because of our sinfulness as a country and rebellion against God. But his shed blood on the cross took care of my sinfulness because I'm having trust and faith in him. So I'm going to get delivered out of this craziness by the miraculous hand of God that was accomplished 2,000 years ago on the cross for us. And verse 14 of Matthew, and we are reading some of Matthew and Mark because Luke doesn't cover it. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. And Mark says something similar, and the gospel must first be preached to all the nations. And as I've emphasized when we went through Revelation, let's turn to Revelation 14, 6 through 7, which is in your notes, but Revelation 14, 6 through 7. This is what I think Jesus is talking about in Matthew. That before the end, because see, they wanted to know, and what's the sign of the end of the age? And Jesus is answering, this gospel is going to be preached through the whole world, and then the end comes. Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of the heaven, having the everlasting gospel. To preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God, give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea, and the springs of water. Now worship him instead of who? Instead of the Antichrist. See, we have to remember that Revelation 14 is at the mid-tribulation. It's the 3.5 years into the 7-year tribulation. It's right when Satan has turned on the Jews. He has put an end to their sacrifice in the Jewish temple, and he is now declaring everybody to worship him, to bow to his image and take his name in their hand and their forehead. And so now God is using angels to fly and give the gospel. You better worship God. You better, to every tribe, fear God. Give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him. Worship Jesus. Worship God who made heaven and earth and who created everything, rather than this guy who has now turned from being the global leader into a global tyrant that is going to make all the tyrants of today seem like nothing. Now, why is God using an angel? You know, because people have been using this verse in Matthew 24:14 to emphasize the need for missions. You know, for missions, we got to get missions. We got to find that last Aborigine out there someplace. Because Jesus can't come back until everybody has heard. We should be motivated to do that because he told us to go out into all the world to spread the gospel. I mean, we should be doing that, and the church has been doing that, working hard to do that. But to add to it, or Jesus can't come back, is not true, because God is going to really, truly do it. Now, let's look at right now what has been the witness in the world throughout all of history. What has been, according to the Word of God, what's been the witness to the world throughout all of history? The creation. Okay? So the creation. So, creation all through history. Then what was the next witness? What was the next thing God did to create a witness in the world? The calling of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You are my witness people. Okay, so then the Jews were the witness people until, are they the witness people now? No. Who's the witness people now? The church. So, at Pentecost, things changed. There was a little bit of mix there for a while, but then when 70 AD came and the Jews were scattered and the temple was gone, they got scattered. They're no longer the witness. The church is the witness. Jew and Gentile, church is the witness. How long are we going to be the witness? Till the rapture. And so then God is going to take his people off of this earth. And now we're gone. Well, see, there's still, and then another thing God added to be the witness. You know, there was the Jews and the Old Testament was a witness. And then when we had the church and the New Testament, that's the witness. And so we still have creation all the way through. We have Jews in the Bible as a witness, you know, Old Testament. Then we have church in the witness. Well, the Bible keeps going to the extent that it's allowed to be in the, they will be searching the world over to destroy every Bible during the tribulation period. Can just pretty much guarantee that. And, but the Bible will be a witness. And what else is the witness? As soon as the church is gone, what comes on stage to be the witness? The 144,000. And so then the 144,000 are the witness, and who else? The two witnesses in Jerusalem are the witness. And so, gold stars for those that are getting all these, right? And not that that gets you into heaven. You have to.
I was so hoping so.
So then what happens that causes, and also everybody that is becoming a tribulation saint during that time is also a witness, but what's happening to them? They're being killed, especially after the midpoint of the tribulation. After the midpoint of the tribulation, as soon as somebody doesn't bow and take the mark of the Antichrist in their hand or their forehead, they're done. There is no witness, as I've emphasized before, there's nobody to rapture at the end of the tribulation, because Daniel says in chapter 12, and when their strength is totally destroyed, gone, then the end comes. So there is no witness of the 144,000, because in chapter 14, the 144,000 are up in heaven with God again. And so they're up in heaven, the two witnesses are gone, the church is gone, and everybody who sticks their head up is bopped down and killed immediately. So there's no witness, and what does God send? An angel. And that angel is flying over the whole world, every tribe and tongue and nation, And every single person on the planet of the earth, all three angels are saying, hey, you better not worship the Antichrist, you better worship God. They're giving the gospel. The three angels are giving the gospel and warning the people not to take it. If you take the mark, your soul is damned forever, paraphrasing exactly what's get said. And so, isn't God cool? And see, his prophetic word answers the question. We see that his witness is always there. He's always there witnessing and wooing people to come to him. Because he wants people to come to him. And many will. And we have. And others are yet to follow us. And they're going to do so because of the love of God in the midst of tyranny and oppression. Gospel of the kingdom will be preached to all the world as a witness to the nations, and then the end will come. So our time here is almost over, by many reasons to believe that. We'll cover that more next week. We'll stop there. Our time is almost over. And I'll tell you what, there's a little bit of a, how can I explain it? I feel like, man, I don't know how much time is left, but I know it's not long. Because these things that are happening so rapidly, so quickly, and knowing it's going to get worse. When Louise told me, oh man, the recall election, you know, left the tyrant in, or, you know, left Newsom in, which, you know, to me, tyrant, and everybody. And I go, oh no, no surprise. I mean, it's almost like I'm going to be shocked out of my mind if there's a single bit of justice that shows up in the future. It's just almost gone. And Lord, don't let my love grow cold. Let me know I'm in a spiritual battle. God, give us wisdom in helping to keep people alive during this medical tyranny so that they can continue to witness. My whole motivation is not to keep you out of heaven, with sharing this. And you know what? Dominic, Bob Enyart's son, he goes, Kevin, you know, Bob's done. He's in heaven. A son, it's just lost his dad, but he's a son that's squared away in Jesus. And, you know, hey, he's in heaven. He's done with the battle. And we're going to be done, but we're supposed to be here to give an opportunity for us. Look at it as an occasion to witness. And yes, they might kill you, but use it as an occasion to witness. May God help us to do so. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, God, that Jesus was, I just think of your divine power and plan and how you've always had a witness and God, how you allowed your servants during this church age that are your witness on earth, to share with me, to do the gospel, Lord, to let me hear and finally to just realize it's the truth and to have everlasting life. And we pray for all those that are in the church today in America, that you would help all of us to get our feet firmly planted on you and just trust you in the days that lie ahead, that we can just rejoice and not lose our love, God, especially for one another, and even for those that are opposed to us, Lord. Help us to have your spirit inside of us, given the strength to do what we can't do on our own. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's worship God in this song.
I just want to praise you, lift my hands and say, I love you, you are everything to me, and I exalt your holy. Your holy name, I exalt your holy name on high. I just want to praise you, lift my hands and say, I love you. Everything to me, and I exalt your holy.
Challenge today, go home when you're getting ready to go to bed, sleep. God, I love you and I exalt you for what you've done for me. Make it a habit. I am trying to. I forget sometimes. But if we really thought about it, we would be doing it all day long. Just, God, I exalt you. You're so awesome. Because he is. God bless you. Keep you in his care.